T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Spring Training Podcast for the Yankees and the Mets on this Sunday, February 28th. Earlier today, Ed Coleman and I hosted a show in New York leading up to Yankees Exhibition Baseball. We touched on both teams during the course of our show. So for today's podcast, it's a double team edition. Ed Coleman and I talking about the Yankees and Mets. Here's a little sample of our conversation from earlier in the day.
Back on the fans, Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman. We are here until 1 o'clock. Yankee baseball comes your way then. John Sterling and Susan Waldman. It is Michael King getting the start for the Yankees. You'll see the big guys, Cole and Tyone and Kluber and all those guys, probably later in the week as they make their way through. King and a few other relievers I will have for you shortly once I figure out where they're written down.
I was going to ask you if you have any sense. It's early. You know, if you have any sense of what the 1 through 5 might look for or might look to be for the Yanks this year.
Yeah, I think, listen, 1 is Cole, and obviously 2 is Kluber and Tyone for me, and 2 and 3, and 4 is Jordan Montgomery for me.
Okay, gotcha.
I think that's pretty fair to think that that's what's going to look like a month from now. I think the 5th spot is wide open, and it's going to be rotating. And here's where the Yankees and Mets have kind of an advantage, Eddie, and they're kind of in the same boat. There are not many teams that have a starting pitcher this year they think can make 32 starts and throw 200 innings. The Yankees have one in Gerrit Cole. The Mets have one in Jacob DeGrom. Mm-hmm. And even coming off of last year, I think that the fact that both of them stayed healthy, made all their starts last year, you can probably kind of revert back pretty close to 2019 levels as far as workload for them and think that they're going to make all their starts. Maybe you dial them back a little bit and maybe you got to skip a turn, or maybe they don't throw two. Maybe they throw 185 innings instead of 200. But that's a pretty good advantage for both of these teams to have, and know that you can count on somebody every 5 while you're trying to mix and match with the other spots.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's going to be fascinating to me to see how teams handle this. We were talking to Carlos Carrasco yesterday, and Carrasco has been a horse, you know, in Cleveland. He's pitched 180, you know, 200 innings, whatever. But when he had the leukemia back in 2019, he pitched 80 innings, I believe it was, and he had 60, I think it was 68 last year. He made 12 starts, so he made all his starts. But, again, it was a 60-game season, so everyone has shortened innings. So now you've got 2 years of that. Can you go back to 200? Now, he's confident he can,
yeah.
But do you believe that? You know, are you necessarily going to believe that?
I don't think you let him.
Probably true. And again, I think it's, you know, 1 year, if you take a guy like DeGrom or Cole in your instance, you know, 1 year, then that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, the shape they're in and the kind of guys they are, they're the aces of the staff. But other guys, you know, if you're 2 years removed, and it's, I think it's risky. David Peterson, you know, where does he land? Okay, he pitched great for them last year and was a revelation, and you know, looks to be, you know, the 5th starter. Brought in Taiwan as the 4th starter. You know, he looks to be the guy there. But at the same time, you know, where does he land innings wise? He pitched 130. You know, a couple of years before, I think the 2 years before. But you know, can you push him beyond that? 170 or you know? So it's going to be fascinating to watch and how many pitchers guy, you know, teams actually use during the course of a season. Instead of 7 or 8, is it going to be, you know, 10 or 11 this year? I don't know. You know,
I think it's going to be. I think when you hear Aaron Boone talk about 10 to 12 starting pitching candidates, I think he understands that he's probably going to have to use that many. Yeah. And that's not even considering injuries. I think the idea is, you know, when the idea is kind of coming together when you see what the Yankees went after when they went after Kluber and Tyone, guys who have had some injury history and, you know, didn't pitch a lot the last couple of years. Why are they going for those guys and slotting them into the 2-3 spots in the rotation? Well, for the reasons that we're kind of talking about, Ed, is that you don't have anybody outside of the top guy who you can say is going to make 30 starts. So as and this is all stuff we're kind of piecing together, and they're going to have to, they have a loose plan. You know, Aaron Boone's got it mapped out for about the first month, he said. But, you know, everything changes as you go day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the idea is going to be that you can't count on anybody else for 30 starts, but can you get, I don't know, 20, 24, 25 good starts out of these guys? And as you get those, where do you find the rest? Do you drop them in? Do they miss a turn altogether? Do you expand it out to 6 for a turn? You know, the double headers, do you stack people and piggyback guys? These are things that are all options and will probably all happen in addition to guys missing time with injuries. This is why everybody, I think, is going to really be after the depth of starting pitching. And when you're seeing guys like the Yankees have Yuli Chacin and Nestor Cortez Jr. and guys like that who have some big league experience. This is what the pitching plan is going to look like in 2021. You're going to adjust and you're just going to say, okay, you know what? We're going to have a 6 starter this turn, or this guy is going to miss an entire turn altogether.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the Mets, you know, it's kind of in the same boat, too. They have the Jordan Yamamoto's, you know, who's going to start on Tuesday. Sean Reed Foley, that you remember from Toronto.
From the Blue Jays,
Mike Montgomery, Jared Eichhoff, who's looked good, former Philly pitcher, and then he went to, I think, San Diego. But, you know, and he's, I think he's in his 30s now, whatever. He was actually pretty good for a while there with the Phillies, but one thing that I think both clubs can bank on, certainly with the Mets, I think they can, and I'm pretty sure with Severino, the Yankees can as well. But Syndergaard and Severino coming back, you know, mid-season, you know, it's kind of like getting a trade at the trading deadline. You get a pitcher, but a stud pitcher like that too. Syndergaard's looked very good. I'm not sure about where Severino is at this point. You can update that, but Syndergaard is throwing and looks good. He says he wants to be ready for opening day, but that's But that's Noah.
Yeah.
So, but that's good and. Hey, one thing I wanted to shout out to Noah too. I don't know if you saw it, but Anthony with Anthony Cossi on photo day. You know, he gave a shout out to Anthony, which was really nice, and I thanked him for it too. That was special. That was really nice.
I know. Yeah, it's been almost a year. Anthony Cossi, photographer for the New York Post, who if you covered sporting events anywhere in the city, you saw him, you recognized him, and
and you always saw his pictures.
Yeah, prince of a guy, and I know I have some pictures that he took of me in my collection. Yeah. You probably have some as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a beautiful, beautiful man. We lost him a year ago in the early parts of the pandemic, and Noah Syndergaard gave a little shout out to him on the Mets photo day. The players. You know, players don't love us so much sometimes, but they love photographers, and nobody loved anybody more than Anthony. It was nice to
see.
The shout out to him on photo day the other day.
Absolutely, but how was where's Sevi at this point?
Severino's been throwing. He's been doing his long work out to 120 feet. He should be getting on a mound for the first time. Less than 2 weeks, I believe. So they're looking at him in the midsummer. And listen, as much as Syndergaard wants to say he's ready for opening day, everybody knows that the smartest play is, you know, when you say the Tommy John recovery is 12 to 18 months, the smartest play is to push closer to 18, not closer to 12, and not say, oh, I can do it in 11 months. You know, that's not a race you want to win because it's hard to manage that. And kind of what we're talking about this year, Eddie, that's a great advantage when you're thinking about, okay, do I have guys that can give me 15 good starts? Do I have guys that can give me 20 good starts? Well, Severino and Syndergaard could probably give you depending on when they come back, anywhere between 12 and 20 great starts. Yep. Not just good, great. And if you manage that right, if you protect them from themselves, as you probably kind of have to, it sounds like, with Noah, you can really give yourself a boost at a wonderful time of year.
Yeah, no, the difference, you know, Noah's been, well, he always pushes himself. I think the difference, Severino's a free agent after, what, 2023, I think, right?
He is that... yeah, he's got, let's see, he signed a four-year extension. He's already, I think he's already 2 years into it. So, yeah, he's got two more.
Yeah, two more. So, yeah, because Noah's a free agent at the end of this year.
Correct.
So that, you know,
that's
so, yeah, on his... on his side, that's right. The impetus for him to get back and get as many starts as he can. I understand it, but at the same time, I think you have to be smart, like you said, and you know, and come back, you know, when you're ready. Remember when it used to be that everyone was rushing to be the first guy back, you know, to be the earliest guy back from Tommy John surgery, which made no sense. Eventually, you know, that wound down when people realized, oh, if I take a little bit longer time, then I'm going to have longer on the other end, you know? So,
Well, I'll tell you what, you know what makes more sense to me, and I don't know if anybody could in Syndergaard's camp would explain this to him. If he, I understand free agency is the big payday, and he is well within his rights to have that, you know, have that be at the forefront of his thinking. Mm-hmm. But if he makes, I don't know, if he comes back and makes 10 great starts as opposed to 20 mediocre ones because he's kind of fatiguing in his first year back from Tommy John, if he comes back and makes 10 great starts, Ed, it's less wear and tear, it's longer recovery, and people will see that, you know, the great side of it, he'll cash in just as easily if he makes 10 great starts.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. And, you know, the other part of it too is you can, you know, you can also sign a short termer, you know, if you want, and and stay here. Listen, he loves New York, and I think he wants to stay, but you know, we'll see what happens. But you can also sign a short termer, and you know, he's young enough. You can go into free agency after that if you want. You know, when you're fully healthy, supposedly. So we'll see how it all works out. But it's a huge plus for both teams looking down the line, you know, to get those guys back right around the trading deadline. It's, you know, it's like making a trade and putting a stud pitcher into your rotation at that point in time and getting, as you said, you know, 15 to 20 starts thereabouts. So
Mike King, Asher Wojciechowski, the former Oriole, Lucas Lutke. I'm trying to read my own writing here, sir. Oh, Kyle Bearclaw. You used to see with the Marlins.
Oh, yeah.
Nick
Big
Goody
arm. Big
and
arm.
Adam Warren all scheduled to
Adam
throw
Warren.
For the Yankees today. Warren's coming back from Tommy John.
Yeah.
He's another guy. Nick Goody is.
Where'd he go?
Was
he in San Diego?
He went to San Diego. Yeah. He went to the Cubs, came back, then went to San Diego, and now he's back for his third tour of duty. Nick Goody started as a Yankee and ended up going getting big league action with the Indians and Rangers in his back throwing. Chance for a bullpen role there. Warren is a non-roster guy, but you know, the Yankees have a history with him. So if he throws well and there's an opportunity there, you can look at that. I noticed the catching depth for the Mets is something that's been in question. They actually added Caleb Joseph,
yeah.
I saw. This came down late yesterday, is that right?
A couple of days ago.
Okay.
Days, yep.
So Caleb Joseph, you know, he's not going to hit very much, but you're talking about just adding, you know, capable catching depth in the event of an injury for a couple of weeks. That's a terrific add.
Yeah, they lost Ali Sanchez. It was kind of a depth piece for them. They also have Patrick Mazika, who's on the 40-man roster. You know, a fairly decent hitting catcher. Tomas Nido is the backup, and I still think he will be the backup. You know, he made strides offensively last year, a short season, and he came down with COVID. If people remember when the team was in Miami, that was the shutdown that the Mets had. You know, Nido was the guy that came down with it, and there were other people that were in contact with him, but he never came back from that, and he had a rough time of it. He didn't have any after effects in the off season. We were talking to him, you know, earlier in the week, but my guess is if he continues to show offensively, you know, some improvement like he did last year, you know, he's a decent defensive catcher and will probably be the backup. But Joseph is there for, you know, he certainly can help. You know, let's put it there. You can draw upon him, and he's a guy that guns down base runners pretty well. I think he's in the 30-40% range, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
As far as knocking people off the bases, so that's something that can help. You know, as you said, yeah, not much of an offensive force, but you know, James McCann is there for that for them. So we'll see. They're in better hands. Wilson Ramos, you know, was here for a couple of years, and you know, pitchers weren't in love with Wilson and his work. So you know, McCann moves in, and they're in better stead. Let's put it that way, behind the plate. So.
For sure. Good signing, good veteran signing. It's kind of what you need at the catcher position. Especially, yep. You know, listen, not a lot of people have catching depth right now, and you didn't get a chance to, you know, the Yankees didn't get a chance to graduate guys last year, A to AA, AA, AAA, you know, nobody did. So
right.
You had to bring in some different guys, and that's, I think, Joseph falls in line with that with the Mets as well. We'll take some of your calls along the way here, 877-337-6666. Sweeney Murdy and Ed Coleman here. Listen, before we hit another break, I want to ask you about one guy that you know pretty well that we're going to get a good look at, and it's a different kind of spring for Jay Bruce. He is probably going to have to perform. This is not about, he's a veteran player, but this is not going to be getting in shape and maybe get your swing together in the last 5 or 10 days of spring training. He's a non-roster guy here with an outfield that's already pretty crowded. Now the Yankees have signed Brett Gardner. Bruce has a little versatility, being able to play first base,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he can get through a spring hitting 190 and count on a roster spot. You've seen him up close a little bit with the Mets. What do you think of his game?
I think it's stacked against him simply because if I remember correctly, you know, he's not a fast starter here in spring training, and I get what you're saying. Yeah, I think he's got to show something in the spring, even though, you know, he's a veteran and they know the things. You know, he has always been a streaky player, even in Cincinnati with. Wherever he's been, he's always been the kind of guy that you look at the numbers at the end of the season and say, "Oh, that wasn't a bad season." But you know, during that season, you had a 4-week stretch where you know he couldn't, you know, hit himself out of a paper bag, you know, and was making no contact at all. But then again, you know, then he goes on a hot streak, and that's kind of Jay. That's kind of his MO. I don't know if he can roll through spring training and impress people that way. So I think that makes it more difficult if he's got to show something there, and got to show that he's a keeper. I think he's a good guy to have around and mm-hmm. a great guy to have off your bench. Even late in games. But at the same time, I do think it's stacked against him a little bit because I'm not so sure he's the quickest of starters. So.
You know, the Yankees situation with Brett Gardner is a good one because you have outfielders that get hurt frequently, like Hicks and Judge. Frazier is your everyday left fielder getting that chance, and Gardner is a perfect backup to both Frazier in left and Hicks in center. And I think, you know, I think he's going to have a chance to maybe take some, you know, at least get some rest days or take some at-bats away from Hicks against right-handers. I think, the splits work out very well in the Yankees' favor that way. But it leaves you with really just, you know, you're going to have a four-man bench. Mm-hmm. You're going to have one of those is Kyle Higashioka as backup catcher. One of those is Brett Gardner. Now you have a two-man bench, and one of them has to be a middle infielder, right? So that's, let's just say Tyler Wade probably has the inside track on that. That leaves one bench spot. Mm-hmm. And I've got Mike Tauchman. I've got Jay Bruce. I've got Derek Dietrich. Tauchman doesn't play first base. Bruce and Dietrich do, but guess what? DJ LeMahieu plays first base, and I think he offers some real flexibility in how the Yankees want to manage that bench because he's essentially their backup first baseman and third baseman. So it gives you some options, Ed, but it's still a very small window for these guys to make the roster.
Well, Tauchman might be in some trouble, too. And I think he dipped last year a little bit as well, too. Didn't his power numbers come down?
Everything came down. He said he had a shoulder issue that wasn't an excuse because he could play, he could post. But he talked yesterday about a flat bat path that really affected him against velocity. and he's worked in the winter to correct that. That could have been part of the shoulder too. Mm-hmm. So, but clearly he's, you know, he took a big step backward last year.
Back to Bruce just for a second. You know, the problem that I see is this. You know, Jay has always considered him a himself a full-time player.
Yeah.
He never liked sitting. Now, has he adapted to that, you know, later on in his career? That won't be the case in New York with, you know, with your club. So can he adapt to that? He always wanted to play and always felt if you run me out there every day, eventually the numbers will be there. Well, that's not going to be the case. You know, I think any way you slice it, he may get run out there occasionally, but it's not going to be on an everyday basis, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think, you know, whether he's adapted to that or can adapt to that, I think, you know, therein lies a lot of the solution to it. But at the same time, I'll stick to what I said before about spring training. I think he's probably got to show something, you know, in the spring to manage to stay there too.
I'm looking at his spring numbers here, and earlier in his career with the Reds, it was he had some pretty good ones, had a couple of bad ones, didn't matter, he was an everyday player.
Right.
With the Mets, he had in 2017, he did not hit very well at all. Hit 205, right. 644 OPS. Then in 2018, he rebounded very well. Hit 310, slugged almost 600, had himself a good spring. 2019 with the Mariners, that was, again, a really good spring. Hit 400, slugged 700. So the last couple of years, he's gotten used to the idea of
getting better with age.
Yeah, playing. he's played well in the spring. Summer camp last spring before the shutdown, he was having a good spring with the Phillies. That wasn't even summer camp numbers. So, again, yeah, he was hitting pretty well. So the last couple of years, he's gotten much better, I guess. So this idea isn't new to him, but we'll see if he forces the Yankees' hand to make a decision. He's got an out, like most of these veterans do, towards the end of spring training. And we'll see what happens. But that's something that they're going to have to that's what's going to be interesting to watch. See how they construct their bench and, you know, what mm-hmm. they can do to maybe not lose some depth. Can they, you know, can they keep guys in the minor leagues? Will they accept going to the minor leagues? Things like
I think a lot of guys probably have, it's around March 25th, I think,
yes.
Which is about, a week? Yeah,
yes.
week before opening day, basically. So a lot of guys, I think, have that in their contracts. And, you know, we'll see how that all works out. But, you know, he's got a shot. Listen, he's a good guy to have off your bench, and certainly if injuries occur, and they do with the Yankees, you know, he's a good guy you can plug in there as well, too. And that swing, I think, would be very adaptable to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
That would be nice.
Later in our show, we spoke to Brett Boone. If you missed that conversation with the older brother of the Yankees manager, Aaron Boone, check it out on the WFAN Audio On Demand page, on the WFAN.com homepage, and links on my Twitter at YankeesWFAN. The daily podcast covering both the Yankees and Mets continue on March 1st. The Mets will play their first exhibition game. The Yankees exhibition game schedule continues as well, and we will be officially 1 month from opening day, which is April 1st. So a little getting started, little get your feet wet here with some exhibition play, and before you know it, we'll be into the games that count. So keep coming back here at the WFAN.com homepage and the Audio On Demand page for our daily Yankees and Mets spring training podcasts. I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.